Well, we'll come back to the answer to that question in a moment, but first, I have had some more guesses for what might be in this box. Someone in the building has thrown me a piece of paper with two guesses on it. Sadly, only the first one counts because you're not allowed to guess twice. But the guesses we've had so far, someone has guessed a stone. Someone has guessed an empty Easter egg wrapper. I haven't actually eaten my Easter eggs yet, so that's not the answer. And someone else has guessed a lamb, presumably a very small lamb. Would you like to find out what's in the box?
You seem less excited than you were.
They're not getting excited. I was hoping there'd be suspense. It seems they're just tedium. What's in the box? It is nothing. It's one of my favourite things about Easter is the nothingness, the emptiness that the women found in the tomb. That just as this box is empty, so when those women went to the tomb of Jesus to pay their respects, well, they did see some things. They saw some men who are angels who appeared to them. They saw some linen cloths that they wrapped the body of Jesus in. But they didn't see the main thing they were expecting to see. Where the body of Jesus was, there was just an empty space. And that's one of the most exciting things about Easter. More exciting than lambs or rabbits or empty Easter egg wrappers or stones or eggs. That empty space, the empty tomb. The most important thing is not so much what the women did see when they went to the tomb, it's what they didn't see. They didn't see that body of Jesus. Now, before you start complaining about feeling that that was an unfair question, it was a trick question, perhaps even two trick questions, and you're not very happy, maybe some of you are starting to write angry comments on YouTube. I understand that. I understand your frustration, your anger, your horror, your disgust, and your annoyance. But I'm hoping that within a few minutes, I'll gradually be able to persuade you to put that frustration to one side. Because this empty tomb, the empty space, this Easter can give us real hope. In all of the confusion and the sadness and the disappointments that we've had in the last year, here the empty tomb gives us hope. And to think about why the empty tomb is so amazing and why I chose nothing, which someone who threw the piece of paper did guess, but it was their second guess, so it didn't count. But why the emptiness is so important, that empty space. And we need to ask some questions about the empty tomb. We need to be like detectives, like Miss Marple, or Sherlock Holmes, or Noddy Toyland Detective. We need to ask some questions. But I don't know what, I'm not very good at asking questions. I don't know what questions to ask. And I wonder where I can get some good questions at this time of day. I don't know whether there are any questions. Ah, maybe in this envelope with the word questions on. What those of you who are at home can't see is that this piece of string is very precarious. And Jane over there is very nervous at what might happen during the service. I tested this earlier, and the first time it didn't go according to plan. The second time it didn't. Let's see what's in this envelope. We have here 6 questions. This is what we need. 6 questions that we can ask to help us understand why the empty tomb is so important for us today. And the first question is this question. Who? Put that question up. Here. Who? Who is it that they were expecting to see? Who is it that they were looking for? Oh, the person they were looking for was Jesus. That's the obvious answer. Jesus is the name of the person they were looking for. But Jesus wasn't just a friend to them. He was someone that they loved very much. That's why they wanted to pay their respects. That's why they missed him so much. But he wasn't just a friend. He was someone very special. These women knew that. As they had gone around with him in his life, they'd seen him teach these really amazing things. He'd done these really amazing things. He'd healed people. And he was just so kind and so filled with love and concern for all kinds of people even people that other people forgot about. And in his life and his what he said, he seemed to be the answer to lots of promises that God had made in the past. When God had promised in the first part of the Bible in the Old Testament, promised that he would send a special king, the Messiah, the Christ, a special king who would bring in a wonderful new kingdom. And Jesus seemed to be the answer to those promises, bringing in a new, wonderful, happy, sunshiny kingdom. That's who they were looking for, these women, this amazing one who seemed to be the answer to all of God's promises. If that's who Jesus is, what had happened? What had happened? Because he'd gone. They had an eventful few days, these women. This very special, amazing person who'd done all these amazing things and seemed to be the answer to God's promises, well, they'd watch him die. And on that day when he died, rather than seeing the happy, sunshiny kingdom they were waiting for, there was darkness in the middle of the day. And then they saw him buried in a tomb. And some of you may have picked up in one of the bits of the story that Joseph, who buried him, was waiting for God's kingdom. He thought Jesus was the one to bring that special, amazing kingdom, but he's still waiting. Jesus is buried. And now these women have come to the tomb to pay their respects to this very special person. And he's gone. He's vanished. The tomb is empty. So what does all that mean for God's promises that he'd made of this special kingdom? Are those promises empty, just like the tomb was? Well, another question. If Jesus had gone, where had he gone? The women went into the tomb expecting to see Jesus. Is it just an empty space? But as they were wondering where he had gone, what had happened, trying to work it all out, these angels appeared and told them where he had gone. He'd gone out of the tomb because he was alive. Those wonderful words, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here, he has risen." He's gone out of the tomb because he wasn't dead anymore. He was alive. And that's not where living people are. Living people are outside of the tomb, alive, living. That's where Jesus had gone. Out of death, now alive. He is risen. Alleluia. That's quite a big piece of news to take in, isn't it? If you turn up and suddenly realise that someone is alive who was dead, you could ask, how? How is it that that's happened? How is it that this person who was dead is now alive? Well, the angels go on to say that this is exactly what Jesus said would happen. Some of you may remember this from the Messy Church and the way that Caroline told us the story of the disciples, those who followed Jesus, who were really confused and then realised later on that this is what Jesus had said would happen. And that's what the angels remind the women of here. Remember how he told you he would rise? They didn't understand it at the time. But he said the Son of Man, that's Jesus, must be handed over to sinful people. He must be nailed to a cross. On the third day he will rise from the dead. And when they said that, then they remembered what Jesus said and started to understand it. That this is all part of God's plan. This is what God said would happen. This is what the Son of God, Jesus, said what would happen. This is all part of God's plan. The empty space in the tomb was not a sign that God's plan had failed. It was a sign that God's plan could not fail. That not even death could get in the way of God's plans. That this Jesus was even more amazing than they thought. This Jesus, things seem to go so wrong. What's happening with God's promises? But no, he is alive. He's gone through death and is now alive. And it's all part of God's plan. A very important question. One of the most important questions today. Why? Why? Why did all that happen? Why did Jesus die and then rise again? Was it just to show off that he could do something amazing? Was it just to give us an excuse to eat chocolate eggs, as if we needed one? Why did Jesus die and rise from the dead? Well, the amazing answer that the Bible gives us is this. If you think back at the last year and everything that's gone on, and I hope that in the last year you still have some happy memories that you can think back on. Maybe you've been able to spend more time with family or more time doing certain things, and those are happy, good memories. I hope you have some of those. But there are lots of things in the last year that have been sad and difficult and disappointing. Things that have been frustrating. A lot of pain and hurt. But Jesus rose from the dead so that he could say, it won't always be like this. You look around at all of that pain and sadness and all those wrong things in this world. Jesus rose from the dead so he could say to us, it won't always be like this. And at this point, if you've got a piece of paper and some colouring implements, just for a few minutes, you have the opportunity to draw something. And what I want you to draw is to think of something that you've missed doing in the last year. It could be, you could draw more than one thing if you like. You could draw maybe some family members that you've missed spending time with. Or maybe you've missed playing with friends, or you've missed going on holiday, or you've missed going to gymnastics lessons, or you've missed riding a shark across the Sahara Desert, or whatever it is. I've certainly missed doing that. So draw something you've missed doing. If you're in the building, you can just think about something you've missed doing. And we'll come back to those pictures a bit later on. But as we think about this why question, there's another why question. If Jesus is saying things won't always be like this, we could ask, well, why are things like this at the moment? Why is the world like this? Why do we live in a world where lots of things are painful and sad and frustrating and difficult? And the Bible tells us that the world hasn't always been like this. That when the world was first created in the beginning, that's not how the world was. When God first created those first humans, Adam and Eve, they had a different experience of the world at the beginning. Just wonderful life without all of these frustrations and pains that we experience. A happy, harmonious relationship with God and with each other and with the world around them. But then something happened that disrupted everything. That they sinned, they disobeyed God. They didn't fully trust him. They turned away from him to do their own thing. And that brought destruction to everything. It disrupted their relationship with God, who'd given them life. Disrupted their relationship with each other. And it disrupted their relationship with the world around them. So much pain instead of that perfection they'd enjoyed. And all of us since then, we've acted similarly. We've turned away from God. We've sinned. And we continue to live in a world where things are disrupted, where things are not as they were first created to be. And then Jesus comes into the world, God's Son. And he comes saying some words that you'll find on the outside of the building at the end. Some of you will have seen them. If you haven't, they're on the outside of the building at the end. You can see them on the way out. And Jesus comes and says these words. The reason why he came into the world, or one way of describing it. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what Jesus came to bring. I've come that they may have life, that we may have life, and not just existence, but life to the full, abundant life, fulfilling life, eternal life, never-ending life, never-failing life, life in relationship with the God who made us, our Creator, the perfect, good, holy God. Life to the full. That's why Jesus came. And to give us life to the full, we had to deal with the two things that stop us enjoying life to the full. Two things that stop us enjoying life to the full now. One is our sin, our disobedience, the ways that we've turned away from the God who made us. That's disrupted our relationship with the God who gives us life. And when our relationship with God is disrupted, well, that disrupts our experience of everything. And Jesus dealt with that problem of our sin when he died on the cross. It's Jesus, God's Son, who came down from heaven to earth and who was perfect in his life, who didn't fail as we have. Then he died on the cross, taking the punishment we deserve for our sin, for our disobedience, so that we can be forgiven and restored to relationship with the God who made us. And the other thing that stops us enjoying life to the full is death. Death, that awful human enemy that disrupts ultimately all of our plans and our hopes and our dreams. And human death is in this world because, as humans, we have sinned. We turned away from the God of life, and so that relationship of life is disrupted. But Jesus came not just to deal with our sin, but to deal with that death, defeating death. Amazing. He came to defeat death. Having died, he rose again, went through death, came out alive. He's risen, never more to die. He defeated death. And here's the really exciting thing: not just defeating death for himself, not just defeating death so he could be alive and spend a bit more time with his friends, but defeating death for all of his people, those who know him and trust him. Not just defeating death for himself, but paving a way through death for us to follow. This is why the empty tomb is so important for us and so exciting, more exciting than anything else that you guessed was in the box. Exciting bit of Easter when we see the empty tomb. Because of that empty tomb, we can have life to the full. Because of that empty tomb, we can have life to the full. That we can come to the one who's in that tomb and rose again. And through him, we can know a relationship with the God of heaven now. We can know him with us through all of the difficult things we experience. And we can know that that relationship won't be ended by death, but it will continue forever. And one day, this Jesus will come back, as we've sung today, and will bring a final end to all of the death and all of the frustrations and pains and hurts of this world now. Bring an end to them forever for all of his people. And we can know that that's true because the tomb is empty. He defeated death. Now, those of you who've been drawing pictures, if you have been at home, now would be a good time to stop drawing for a moment. And you can show your picture to the people who are in your household with you. If you want to, you don't have to, there's no obligation. But you look at that picture, the things that you've missed doing in the last year, or something special that you've missed doing, and something I assume that you're hoping you'll be able to do again soon, looking forward to doing again. And we're really thankful that the vaccine has been working well so far and restrictions are starting to change. And we look forward to being able to do more things again. As a family, we've been able to just go away on holiday, only within Wales, not riding anything across the Sahara, but we could go somewhere. And maybe some of you have been able to see some friends or family members recently. But we know that even when all those things change with the restrictions, that there's still a lot of sad things in this world. There's still lots of plans we make that don't happen. There's still lots of things that don't work out as we'd hope. Lots of confusion and pain. But the good news of Easter is that Jesus died and rose again to offer us something even more wonderful than whatever you've drawn on your piece of paper, whatever comes to mind when you think about the end of COVID restrictions. He came to offer us something even more wonderful than all of those things put together. dying and rising again to fix our relationship with the God who made us. That relationship that's been disrupted by our sin, by our disobedience, by our failure to live as he created us to. Dying to fix that relationship so as we trust him, we can know God with us through everything we experience in life. And then rising again, defeating death so we can enjoy that relationship forever. Life to the full, forever. No more death or pain. The empty tomb, when the women came, they could have come away thinking, well, that's God's plan's failed. Everything's over. But actually, that empty tomb was a sign that God's plans cannot fail. Not even death can stop them. That there will be a huge crowd of people enjoying life to the full forever, no more death, because Jesus died and rose again. And it could be that if you have drawn something at home, that at the end of the service, after it's over, that while you're waiting for your lunch to cook, whether you're having lamb or rabbit or whatever you're having today, and while you're waiting for that, you can draw an empty tomb. You can get some pictures online you can copy. And draw a picture on the back of the empty tomb to remind you that because that tomb was empty, you can enjoy something even more wonderful than everything you're looking forward to when COVID restrictions end. A wonderful, never-ending relationship with God. That's why Jesus died and rose again. I do still have one question left, but before we have that question, maybe it'd be a good time to reflect a bit on what we've heard in this Easter story. And we're going to reflect with a song. There's no question either side of this song, but it's a song that's going to be sung for us in video means by a group of singers in the Church of Lichard Singers, who are preparing for a world tour later this year. But it's a song, Where, O Grave, Is Your Victory? A song that has these words in the chorus: eternity was won for me by heaven's eternal king. Wonderful words. So listen to these words and think about what we've heard, and then we've got one more question before the end of our service.
Face in death, I need no fear.
song. And the final question that we have, just for a moment, is this question: what now? We've heard this good news of Easter. What's our response going to be? And there are three different responses that we get in the passage. And we can do some actions to help us remember what these three responses are, to think about our own response later on. So we can, if you want to join in with the actions, shake your head. I don't know whether you're shaking your head or whether you're saying, no, I don't want to shake my head. The second response, you can go looking. And the third response, go thumbs up and smile. So those are three things we're going to see. Because the first response is, you could respond to all of this by shaking your head. I don't believe it. It's just a made-up story, just some wishful thinking. This isn't really true. That's what a lot of people have said. That's what some people say to start with when they hear what the women say. When Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, went to tell the apostles did not believe them. They thought they were just making it up. This was just a nonsense story. We could respond like that, just by shaking our head. I don't want anything to do with this. I don't believe it. I don't think that's a wise response today. There's a better response that we get. People who go looking, who want to know more. That's what Peter does in this passage. When he heard the news, he wasn't quite sure, but he ran to the tomb and had a look, and then thought about what he saw, what he hadn't seen, and what Jesus has said in the past. That's a much better response if we're not people who already know Jesus this morning. Like, these are big claims. This is big news that Jesus has defeated death so we can live with God forever. That's big news. It changes everything. It's news that people across the world have known to be true for thousands of years. So it's not something just to dismiss or ignore. Much better response is to ask questions, to investigate, to reflect, and to look. And we can't go to the tomb like Peter did and look to see what's going on. But we can ask questions about the resurrection. It's something that happened in history. You can ask about it like with any other historical event. And if you want to know more about that evidence for the resurrection, I'd be happy to send you a copy of this book. You can get in touch with me at the end of the video. That comes with no strings attached, free of charge if you want it. Or maybe you could ask a Christian that you know this Easter Sunday. Maybe you could speak to a Christian you know and ask them why they celebrate Easter Sunday. What difference does knowing Jesus make for them? What difference does it make that Jesus rose from the dead? Find out what it makes in their life. Or maybe you want to read more about what Jesus did. And again, I'd be happy to send you one of the Gospels from the Bible, either Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, one of the Gospels telling you the story of Jesus' life from an eyewitness perspective. And I'd love to send that to you again, free of charge, no strings attached, although we're here to meet with you online on Zoom if you want to go through some questions. So that's a much better response, to go looking, not just to dismiss it. And I hope that as you go looking, that you'll come to the third response. Because there are lots of people here, there aren't that many people in the building here today, but the people that are in the building or joining us online, many of them have had the experience of once dismissing these claims, not taking them seriously, and then spending some time reflecting, thinking, looking into these things, I've now come to the third response of joining with the women and saying, this is amazing. This is amazing news. These women who ran with joy to tell other people what they found. And even when they were mocked and dismissed, they kept celebrating this amazing news. And even though they didn't understand as much as they would later understand, they still celebrated this amazing news. That this empty tomb means we can have life to the full. That this isn't God's plans failed, it's mission successful. And so today, if you're someone who knows Jesus and you know this good news already, it's not new to you, when you get home later today, before you rush to open your Easter eggs and to eat them. Spend some time instead reflecting on how amazing this news is. What difference it makes now to know that Jesus is alive and he's coming back to reign. That Jesus has defeated death and dealt with your sin once for all. And as you reflect, maybe there's someone that you can speak to today, like these women around to tell the news. There may be someone who's, perhaps someone who's part of the church you haven't been able to see as you normally would. You could give them a phone call and remind them of this wonderful Easter news. Or maybe someone you know, a family member or a neighbour or a friend, who won't have come to a church service today to hear this good news. And maybe you can share something of why this is a special day for you, beyond eggs and everything else. Three different responses. In my life, I used to be someone who would dismiss it, shake my head, this can't be true. Then I did look. And now I've come to see, like the women, this is amazing, amazing news. Jesus is not here, he has risen. Let me pray.